In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Mysticism. Our guest for this episode of A Psychic Story is leading feminine business strategist, wealth activator, and queen of the Relaxed Millions movement. She is on a mission to lead spiritual women to make bank by being paid to be themselves, to build wealth without the cost, to work less, play more, and fall in love with life as a receiving woman. She gets money on the 3D level, and she has mastered how to call it on a spiritual energetic level as well. This is the story of Jocelyn Reed. Welcome to A Psychic Story, Jocelyn.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. What an intro. I love that.
Well, you're a woman of many means here. So I would love to obviously get into that and talk about all of that in a moment. But before that, share with the listeners how you got started even on this path to begin with.
Ooh, through a very pivotal, I would say, spiritual awakening and journey of my own. So I was one of those people, and this may have been many of us at certain phases. I believe that it was. Some people were tuned in and kind of like tapped in as kids. But I would say that I was very like, you know, follow the rules, do what you're supposed to do, go to a good school, get a good job, have a boyfriend. Like I was just kind of like going through the motions up through my Saturn return. And that was like my great crumbling, I guess you would call it. And I left my job in finance. I left San Francisco. I decided to leave my relationship. Like I just literally left everything that had been part of me, quote unquote, doing what I was supposed to do. And I had no idea what I wanted to do professionally. And I moved to Los Angeles thinking it was going to be like, oh, yay, fun, life in the sun. You know what I mean? Just very naive. And instead got served a large plate of everything that I had not dealt with within self. And I got involved in a very toxic up and down relationship at a really, really intense and destabilizing psychic awakening, like hearing voices, having premonition dreams in regards to this relationship, like everything that he was going to do before he did it, like over and over and over and over again, you know, like seeing spirits, dreams of white light. I mean, it was at a 10. It was not just like, oh, I'm more tuned into my intuition and I have a feeling about things. And then during that time, I became addicted to psychics, which is such an LA thing to have done. But I burned through all my money. I was like obsessed with what was going to happen with him. Then I was also having my own awakening. And like, I just did not have any, neither of my feet were on the ground at all. So I basically destroyed myself financially. This went on for years, like this kind of like whole dynamic. And then it ended in a health crisis where I got a period that never went away. And I wound up having to have surgery. I had 37 fibroids. That was a big come to Jesus for me because there was like 2 months I couldn't work. So I could barely walk. I was so weak from losing so much blood. And there were 2 months that I was on the sofa and they were trying to get me to stop bleeding so that I could have surgery because I didn't want to have a blood transfusion. I had nothing else to do but go like, how in the world did we get to this place? Because you'd think that like the money would have been enough or whatever it was, but it really wasn't. But my health, when you like actually can't walk for real, you know, it was a whole ordeal. So that made me look at things and I discovered Louise Hay at that time. And you know how she cured herself from cancer. Her spiritual reason for fibroids was romantic shame. And it made a lot of sense for how I'd been leading my life. And then I just really started listening to her on repeat. And the big lesson that I got was like, oh, okay, well, I created this, not just the fibroids, all of it. You know what I mean? Like, I clearly played a big part in how this is going. No one else in my immediate family had financially destroyed themselves, all these things. Like, I created this. So that means that I can pray out of it as well. And I just really started taking a lot more self-responsibility. And then, you know, I ultimately moved to New York. I got a different job. I switched industries. I was definitely getting a lot more stable. I was healing my stuff. I was looking at my things. And then eventually it was just like, I was open enough to understand that, like, before I took my last job, I remember sitting on the sofa and just knowing, I was like, this is going to be the last job I ever have. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I didn't know doing what. Like, I really didn't know. I just knew that peace was part of me. And then I just got to a stage eventually where I was like, I want to help people create what they want to create. I had an, you know, extraordinary sales and marketing background, having worked for, well, that the finance job that I did have, I worked for like the largest asset manager in the world for 7 years. I had all these sales jobs, marketing jobs. Like, I kind of like breezed over those in our story because they're not as important, other than I did get fired from a few of them. So no one feel bad about that, because look where we are now.
That was the universe redirecting you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's perfect. And I had started manifesting, like, you know, more business consulting opportunities and things like that. And I kind of woke up because I remember I went to Utah for one, and I was like, I just got paid what I would get paid in a month in a day, you know, from my corporate job to this consulting opportunity. That woke me up on the financial front of what was possible. And I was like, and I'm just literally showcasing like what I know, you know, like this is easier. I'm just like getting paid to be myself. And then I wanted to help individuals with businesses more than I wanted to, do you know what I mean? Work directly with like corporate companies. And so I went to social media and started doing the things. And then it's pretty wild because during my whole 5-year rock bottom, and it did start when I was 29, literally right at my Saturn return, I acquired nearly $100,000 in tax debt. And then now since 2020, you know, we've made near $3 million.
Wow. So when you went through that, walk us through that process, because there's a lot there. You know, you had the experience, obviously, spiritually, the growth, the healing that you were doing. You had the work experience with asset management, financial and marketing, but there was something, and then you had that awakening or that aha moment of, now I can do this on a bigger scale and make the money, be in that prosperous place of abundance and help people. So then what did that look like where, outside of that aha moment, how did you actually build the business and how do you help other people do that?
Obviously, women who come to me, I would say that most like have a sense of their genius. You know, I do have an early entrepreneur container, and sometimes there's people who kind of like know what they're good at, but they haven't really nailed down their genius. But I would say that I very much support women and like, it's essentially monetizing their genius. You know what I mean? And is that it's like, what can you do in your sleep? What would you want to be on a stage talking about for 3 hours straight? Because a lot of times they'll be like, oh, but I have so many interests. And I'm like, you having interests and you being an expert are two very different things, right? I have interests in a lot of things, but my expertise around money, which obviously shows up in how I support people with business, in addition to having offers just around money, is like what I would quote unquote die on the hill talking about, you know? Like, that's just my divine gift. It just is what it is. And I believe that we all have that. You know, if you do, you actually need to learn how to write content that converts. You have to learn how to package your genius. You have to learn how to sell and speak to people in a way where they value what you're saying, right? And I mean, it's a skill set. Marketing and selling is a skill set. And so I very much help people do that. And I went out and started doing it. People are out there doing, they try to have like the business model of a 7 or 8 figure entrepreneur, where it's like all these different offers, all of these different things, and their business isn't ready for it yet. They don't even know how to market and sell well yet. They don't give themselves an opportunity to be known for anything yet. I gave myself the time to really become an expert at marketing and selling that and to be known for that. So then I was known for the container, known for the results coming out of the container, known for helping women step into that income level before, you know what I mean? Things kind of like transpired from there and made a name for myself. And people will kind of like take any single life experience they've had and turn it into an offer and put it on the internet. And I'm like, your business isn't, yes, like the business is birthed through us, but it's not supposed to be like a graveyard for everything that you've ever been through in your life. Like you're building a brand, you need to be known for something.
So you said the credibility, essentially, like you were known for something, you started that built the credibility, which then made you known for that because of that credibility. And then from there, you were able to grow, not just as yourself, but as a business.
Yeah. And I don't think people, but they understand that you really need to do that. It's not just like put all this stuff out there and see what sticks. You need to learn how to verbalize your process. You need to have a core topic. You need to know how to package it. You need to know how to sell it. Like, do you know what I mean? This isn't about like, do whatever you feel like, but at the same time, you feel very free because your core topic is what you could talk about all day long, backwards, forwards, et cetera, et cetera. And there will be extensions from that, but it's like giving yourself a chance to like get started and be known, because you only get paid well when you're perceived as an authority. You are not an influencer. We can have influencer vibes, right? Because we're a personal brand. But I think that people have a hard time with what should make it to social media because it builds my brand, and what is actually just a distraction. And now I'm actually distracting people from what builds my brand, right? And now we're in friend zone and everyone's very invested in your personal life and DMing you, but like they're not paying you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think in the spiritual community, there are a lot of women, there's also men out there too, but a lot of women in the spiritual community that if they want to start a business in that, in this industry, they don't know the first thing first about starting a business, and or there may also be fear in changing something completely in a profession. You know, I've had people come to me, they're doctors, they're lawyers, or they work in a very technical field, but then they're feeling led to go in the spiritual. And I think those are kind of two different things in some ways. One is, who are you and what do you want to be in terms of your profession and your career? And then there's the, how do I then build my brand and my business if this is the thing that I want to do professionally? So how do you work with people, or what's the advice that you have there?
I mean, the nervousness is like, welcome to doing something new. Do you know what I mean? It's like, how long do you want to spend on that? Like, if you want to be successful, you're going to be doing new things all the time. Like, I always say the people who grow the fastest that I see are the people who do not need to be do so much work around what's required to just be an entrepreneur. It's like, do you want to be building your company, or do you want to spend all your time getting on board with what it's like to be an entrepreneur? Like, you play in the unknown. We take risks. That's why that we also are able to create results and out of this world income impact, all of these things that most people will never create, because we're doing things most people will never do. And by nature of doing that, you are like stepping away from the pack some, but that was the whole point. So I'm like, don't waste time. Do you know what I mean? Like sitting around being like, oh my God, it's so scary to be an entrepreneur, but you want to be a successful entrepreneur. Do you know what I'm saying? How it just doesn't make sense. Like, yes, in a way, the business is a personal development journey. It will bring up your stuff. But when you turn business into a personal development journey, money's going to go very slow. You think that like Kim Kardashian and Elon Musk are sitting around being like, from which lifetime did this fear come from? Do you know what I mean? In order to make the next move, they're just, how many more traumas do I have to heal? They're moving.
They're moving forward.
They're just moving forward. However, I very much believe in that personal side of the work and have done a lot of it myself, because I believe it leads to higher frequency money, right? You feel better, you make better decisions, you get to have all, not just ones that, not just financially, but across your entire life, because we don't just want to make money, right? We want the money to feel good. We want like the relationships to come through the business to feel good, romance to feel good, family to feel good, like all of the different areas, right? So you could argue some of these people who don't do, and I don't know what personal work they're actually doing. I'm not even talking about them as humans at this point, but you know what I mean? A lot, there's people on the world stage who've clearly not been doing a lot of personal work who make a lot of money, right? And my point is, don't get stuck, but also do that work, because it's going to give you a higher frequency life. And so instead of like the money coming at such a cost to your health, to your personal life, like to all of these different areas where it's like do or die. You know what I mean? I would rather have like the wealth, what I call wealth without the cost, or like the relaxed millions frequency where it's like, okay, cool. We're making the money, we're making the impact, we're scaling, we're growing. Like all other parts of my life are on board with this. I'm not like, you know, getting to this peak and then everything else is being like left behind, because, you know, I believe that we actually, to put it generically, do get to have it all, but we have to be people who can hold that. And it tends to be, if you have a lot of unaddressed stuff, so there's, you know, even if you're making money, there's other things that are a problem. Like the, you don't even need to look like it's, it will be shown yes. to you in your life what needs to be looked at, you know?
Yeah. Let's dive into that. Let's talk about the energy and the frequency. Cause I did want to kind of eventually get to the masculine and the feminine energy and everything. And you said a lot of really good nuggets there of information, which is yes, we need to do the work in order to be in that frequency to manifest, to create. So explain that. And from your perspective, cause you've had experience with that, you've seen a lot of results for yourself and for clients. Share about that a little bit.
I think that what we do is extremely important. And then it's like the energy or relationship that we carry to money is as well. Because I think that what people don't realize, they think that things magically change. Like I believe the way that most people go about creation of wealth, creation of money is thinking that one day there will be enough money where everything's just different. And they will spend a lot of time doing that, potentially their whole life, and then it never happens. The reason is because like you have to change before your experience with money changes. You have to interact with money differently before money interacts with you differently. So I have a program called Overflow that's all about how to live in a perpetual state of excess with money. And one of the things that I talk about is learning how to become someone who leads money, because we spend a lot of time and reaction and response to money, with money like dragging you around like a puppet master. I mean, how many times in a day are people making decisions based on money? How often do we do something scarcity driven because we're having a contraction around money? Like there's so much time spent orienting life around money. And I'm like, our whole vibe is, well, we want to have a limitless life. Like so much of my internal motivation for like what I've created and what I'll continue to create and helping other women do the same, et cetera, is like, let's tap into and let's have the waking experience of what it's like to have a limitless life. If we're alive and we're here, why wouldn't we be? Well, you can't have a limitless life if your whole, every decision you make in a day practically is tied to some type of reaction you're having to money, right? And so we never really step into higher levels of money when we're kind of stuck just interacting with money in the specific way that we're used to interacting it with it, right? Whereas if we think about someone who has twice the amount of money, three times the amount of money, they're not, and I'll give examples, like they're not interacting with the money that way. But we think, oh, when I have more money, I'll stop. And it's like, no, stop now. And then you'll start having more money. Do you know what I mean? Because it's always like, as we see in all other parts of life, energy goes first. Otherwise, it's sort of like saying like, well, I'll break up with my current toxic boyfriend when someone better comes along. And it's like, no one better is coming along until you break up with your toxic boyfriend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're wasting time. You're not allowing that person to come in.
Right. And also you're not a match to that person coming in because you're still moving like someone who entertains a toxic ex-boyfriend. So you are not vibrationally on the match of your soulmate who's not acting like that. Right. So when we interact with money in these low grade scarcity ways, we are not a match to receive it, to having a lot more money, because someone who has a lot more money doesn't interact with money like that. So when I, even though I'd created all this debt, right, and all this stuff, when I was like, hey, well, I'm going to start my company, and I realized I was going to need to invest in myself, like no one's, you know, making millies just winging it, to put myself ahead, learn strategy, all these different things. And I chose to essentially invest the money that I had to my name while living in New York, needing to pay for other these things, to be supported at the level I want to be supported, not do what most people do, which is like where they try to figure out how they can sort of get there the cheapest way, but they want the results of someone who moves like I do, right? So I made a decision that was at a elevation with money further along than where I was. Right? I made a decision that someone would make who more comfortably has the money. I then started having 30K months, 6 months into my business, right? And not only did I make the decision that was ahead of me, moving the money is step one. Step two, three, four, five, six is who you become and how you change on the other side by your choice, by you taking responsibility for yourself, by you doing the work so you can become someone who does that all the time. When I was manifesting this apartment, which is, you know, a beautiful luxury home in New York, I lived in a much smaller, you know, like $2,800 a month, which in New York is not a lot of money, right? Apartment. And I made a huge up level into a multi-million dollar home from a tiny little apartment, you know? And I rented, I didn't buy it, but just for context. And I remember my business, I was like an $18,000 bill. And it was something we needed to take care of in my legal structure, blah, blah, blah. And I remember getting it. And at first I was kind of like annoyed because I was really stacking cash because I realized, well, if I want to live where I want to live in New York, that's like 15 grand a month, 16 grand a month in rent. And you need to be able to, like what I was talking about earlier, not pay it one time, be someone who pays this every month. Those are two very different people, right? We tend to be, our society is focused on how can I do something one time, not how can I be someone who does this all the time, which is how you're going to get much further with wealth building and making money and building a company. And so I was like, okay, so I had this moment where I was like, hey, well, you can be in scarcity about this. Like I started to feel like contracted and I was like, this makes no sense. You want to pay 15 grand a month in rent and you're sweating paying an $18,000 bill one time. That doesn't check out. You are not a current match to someone paying 15 grand a month in rent if one $18,000 bill makes you sweat, right? And I was like, whoop, changing my attitude about this. And then I remember just being like, okay. And I just literally like removed it from my energy field and was like, done, not even thinking about it, letting this be the easiest thing in my life. I'm going to practice the art of replenishment. This money is coming back right now. Show up in my business like it is, which doesn't mean stress push, but just literally like, oh, I am someone who makes back money that I move this quickly. And then in less than a week, it was back. But it's moments like that where it's like, you want to be a match to more, rise to the occasion. And people don't.
It's creating that, like you said, the intention, the mental focus, the energetic presence and sense of being to create that frequency that not even matches it. Like what I was seeing visually in my mind's eye is you're looking at the end goal, you know, as far like multiple end goals and then saying, here's where I am now, but here's where I want to be and where I am. Because once you match that where I am, you're kind of condensing that timeline and having yourself meet it where it is, not where you are right now.
Exactly. And this is where this is what's truly meant when they sort of say fake it till you make it, but people don't understand. I'm like, fake it till you make it isn't go out and buy a Chanel bag with your last $10,000 and try to feel rich, right? It's about the acting as if is make decisions like the decisions that you would make as the human who has what you want, instead of making the same decisions that keep you where you are today, but you want more, and move with the same frequency. So for example, the version of me paying 15 grand a month in rent is not having a meltdown every time I need to pay my rent or else I wouldn't have the money.
You'd be canceling it out energetically if you had a meltdown every time you had to pay the rent. It's like sending that ripple effect out into the universe of, I can't pay it or I don't want to, and then that manifests.
To me, it's also just that it's like someone who is paying 15 grand a month with ease wouldn't have that problem. They wouldn't even be thinking like that because I don't want to have this be a problem, meaning how I feel when I move the money. You know, let's say people will be sort of like freaking out about how many people have bought during a launch. And I will always say a business problem has a business solution, 100%. So to me, there's always looking at that. But then second to that, I'm like, okay, but if all it takes is you launch something for 2 days and three people are in and we don't have 40 yet, for you to drop into scarcity, you aren't a match for more people being there because someone who does have 40 people in their container does not have this response at this point during the launch or at all, right? So it's like, again, we have to call ourselves to the standard of moving like the person who has what we want, who is not making certain things a problem that we still make a problem. And then eventually, like your time just collapses, which is why I said, stop wasting time, not to you, but in general, like needing to spend a year getting on board with being an entrepreneur and taking risks. A successful entrepreneur is not doing like moving like that.
You just do. You create the action and the opportunity and move forward.
I'm not saying we won't have any feelings about it, but you get my point.
Oh yeah, we have all the feels all the time, but it's a matter of catching it and working through it and then deciding from there what you do with it and how you approach life. Let's talk about masculine and feminine energy, because I have not had a chance to really dive in to that at all in the podcast. And you hear a lot of, I don't want to say myths and misconceptions, but just different perspectives out there about masculine and feminine. And how do you explain it within your own personal life and spiritual life, but also from a business perspective?
So I always describe money as a masculine energy because of how it feels to have and to hold, right? It feels stable. It feels supportive. It feels yum. And that's part of why we like to have it, right? We feel really good. And if you think about, when I think about kind of like more feminine core receiving women, pretty much everything that we want or that we say that we want is something that gives us that feeling of like the feminine exhale. You know what I mean? Not every single thing, but most things. That's just kind of how we're oriented. And so when I, again, speak to clients about, okay, cool. So if money is a masculine energy and we're here to receive money, again, we have to look at our relationship. So when we're doing very scarcity-driven things in our business and kind of like chasing money, when we're, do you know what I mean? Not hiring the people we actually want to hire, and then you know, trying to do the cheaper version of X, Y, and Z, and like spending all this time being grippy with money, right? And being in that really like anxious relationship to it, or being highly avoidant, like don't know your numbers, won't check your bank account, all of these things, but you want to be a millionaire, right? That are not congruent with being a millionaire. It's like, that's how you're interacting with the masculine energy. And so it'll show back up for you very same as it does for you in dating. What happens in dating if you're anxious or avoidant or doing all these weird things and yeah, it doesn't go well. It's this exact same thing with money. And there's so many parallels between love and money that I find very interesting. Like the dynamics kind of play out in a very similar way. And so like everything in life, I always say that money is drawn to power like a moth to a flame. However, money is quite neutral. So as we see, there's people with a lot of it who aren't necessarily, you know, looking out for the good of mankind, but money doesn't really care. It's just going towards where people just have like very high levels of like personal power and conviction. And my whole thing is like, hey, well, that's nice. That's always going to be part of the equation. Duality, we're on planet Earth. It's a bit of a dense place sometimes. However, imagine if all of the people, do you know, who do have good car hearts and do care and do want to move through the world in higher frequency ways, actually address their relationship to money and their command over building wealth, and then power dynamics start to look a lot different, right? Because there's, and also you're a lot less controlled when you have money. Life goes a lot differently. So yeah, that's basically how I explain it, is to think about it as building your relationship to the masculine. And I've also seen a lot of the time for a lot of clients, when they address their relationship to the masculine, other parts of their life. For example, I remember one of my clients, like she had kind of had a hard time like using her voice with men that she had dated. And someone ghosted her, and then she ran into him at the store. And I think she kind of like freaked out and didn't say anything. And she brought it to me, and because it kind of gave her this like frog in the throat feeling. And I was like, well, why don't you just tell him that like it was like disrespectful to ghost you and you would have appreciated X? And this isn't about like that he needs to give you X. The point is that you need to learn to use your voice. Right? It's not about how the other person reacts. I've seen clients in so many of these situations, or, you know, just having a hard time, like having certain conversations with their partner, whatever it is. And then as soon as they go do that, I mean, this was kind of like more random and not related to business, but it was like, she did that. And then she got some like big check in the mail, which like made me laugh. And I've also seen women like clean things up. You know, a lot of women are like hiding what they spend from their husband, all this weird.
Oh, honey, I got this for $10 at Target, but it was really like, you know, $1,000 or something, like hiding it.
Mm-hmm. Why? Or they'll hide that they're investing in themselves, or just clearly scared of the masculine, scared to just have the conversation. And then they do, and I see their money improve, because also you're just moving in a higher frequency. But I always say, if you want to see what is potentially going on with your money that you are not seeing right in front of your face, go look at how you interact with masculine energy in the world. Well, and then also with money directly, like I spoke a lot about, do you know what I mean? Where we just move around in scarcity. And the reason I said that is like, if you want to lead money, you cannot be reactive to money. You have to be in the driver's seat, but we're very reactive to money and don't realize.
We wait for it to come to us. I'm going to go and buy a lottery ticket and I'm going to wait for the money to come to me. No, seriously. You know, that's like not me. I'm just saying like, I think that people think either to make money, I have to get a job and have that job pay me more money or get promoted at my work to make more money. Or I go out and buy a lottery ticket and I've crossed my fingers and I manifest that this money is coming to me versus thinking and feeling, all right, how do I want to feel? And what are those actions that I can take in order to have that follow me?
Well, exactly. And also, we already know the story with most lottery winners, all these athletes, celebrities, like how many people money pours in, gone on the back end in 1 minute, didn't build themselves to be a match to someone who would have that money all the time. This is what I mean. The number of one-hit wonders on this planet, because people just want money to fall out of the sky. And then if it does by chance, then it doesn't even last. So who cares? Right? Because they're so reactive to money. So then it's like, oh my God, well, I got this money one time. Let me go spend all of it. And it's like, I always say the work around money is learning how to receive, hold, grow, flow money. Those are the four ways, right, that we interact with money. We need to have mastery over all four of those in order to build wealth in this lifetime, meaning our millions on millions are compounding, right? And so even if you get yourself to a point of receiving money, if you have no relationship to being with money, like these lotto winners, et cetera, you will find a way, no matter what you tell yourself, you will find a way to push all that money out and you'll be back exactly where you started. The other reaction that people have is they get really grippy and hoardy. So like sometimes I'll see this in business, new business owners taking like bigger risks with their money in business to grow their companies. Then once they start making money, starting to get hoardy with it, because it's like, well, I'm like, what, is this the last dollar you're ever going to make? I thought you were building a legacy.
It's scarcity again.
Scarcity, but you're doing it with money now. Sometimes people have an easier reaction not being in scarcity when they have less money because they don't really have it anyway. So they're like, I may as well just go big, whatever. But then once they start having it, it's like they get re-involved in this new level of scarcity that's now just associated with having money rather than not. And then your business plateaus, you plateau, and you don't make the moves that would be required investing in your company, investing in assets, investing in wealth building assets. You know what I mean? All these things require you to move a lot of money. And so when you don't do that and you want to get rich in a checking account, well, good luck to you. You want your company to continue to scale, but you are just still hiring the way that you did 3 years ago. Good luck. Right. And then they plateau and they're being reactive to money, but they don't realize. And they justify it with like, they come up with all these reasons why.
Yeah. The excuses.
They're excuses. They just don't realize they're excuses because they like believe their own bullshit. Pardon my French.
You, I don't want to gloss over this because you mentioned something. And I was like, oh, that's good. And you said money is neutral. So can you expand upon that?
It's just a resource. Think about it. It's like the food in your fridge is pretty neutral. The water coming out of the faucet is pretty neutral. Like money's just this chosen. At one point it was cows, goats. It's just the chosen currency. It's not that charged, right? It just is what it is. It goes to people who show up with a high level of commanding action and energy over it. Like that's literally all that's going on. So it's like, to me too, we get very stuck sometimes in our personal development when we're like, what happened when I was five? And I'm not saying don't have, like when you have somatic responses to things, I do believe it is important to like get help, look at that, et cetera, et cetera. We know trauma lives in the body. We want to be feeling good. This is 100%. But then it starts to get to a point where it's like, we're distracted by our own development. Do you really think that you need to go over what happened when you were five, 40 more times in order to just be a match to a tangible good on the earth plane? Like, I don't think so. Nothing's gotten more complicated. The more that you grow and raise your levels of self-awareness and make new choices, life gets less complicated. And I think that that's what we need to be to remember is like we want to be moving towards simplicity in money, in business, everywhere. We want to always be moving towards more clear and directed and cleaning up any places where we think that we, quote unquote, can't have that clarity right now or don't yet. When all people who make a lot of money, are very clear and very directed, and they're very good at making decisions. Nobody who's making a lot of money is like, I don't really know what I want to do.
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh, but you're saying so many truths. So there you go.
But it's true, right? But we don't think about it like that. I'm like, this isn't a thing. You need to, and a part of why people have a hard time with decision-making, et cetera, is I'm like, you need to learn to take self-responsibility, right? Or they're so afraid of making the wrong decision. I'm like, why do you care? Like, you are going to be alive for so long. There are no wrong decisions. Notice that a very successful human we've all made decisions. We're like, okay, cool. I didn't love that part. But it's like, you take what you learn, you take what you like, you take what you didn't like, you alchemize it into the next level of money. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, your success will be a melting pot of many different experiences, et cetera, et cetera. So when you want to feel so sure before you do anything, you've already missed the opportunity. It's so funny. I heard someone say this about investing. So like, I invest a lot of money because one, I want to optimize my taxes and be paying as little as possible. And then two, for wealth building. And so I'm then required to move money a lot of the time, right, into opportunities that I'm not necessarily fully an expert in. I'm not going to pay the IRS $100,000 instead of moving into this real estate opportunity just because I don't understand it 100%, right? It's like, I'm going to understand enough. I'm going to talk to, we're going to bring in the lawyer. We're going to do these things. I'm going to learn enough. And it's just going to need to be enough, right? Invest with people that I trust, et cetera, et cetera. And I heard someone explain this. I think maybe it was Gary Vee. Don't quote me. I can't remember who exactly it was, but they basically said, if you're someone who needs to understand everything before you move, the opportunity is already gone. And I was like, this is so true. Because when I think about investing, not in the stock market, but like some of these other like private equity and things where I need to know people did it, you don't always have 100 years to decide. Or it's like tax season. You need to move your money now, Jocelyn, or you're going to put yourself in a situation where you need to pay it to so-and-so, to the government. Do I want to end up paying the government $50,000 because I got too nervous to move $100,000 into a wealth building asset that pays me dividends? I get my return back. I mean, I get my capital back and I build equity. Well, I didn't do that because I was scared. I didn't understand three bullets. And I thought that was so interesting when they said that, because I have felt that way so many times when I was making investments. And of course we leverage discernment, but it's like that kind of this way that people want to feel over comfortable is like, you just never want to be on any edge. You're just trying to avoid any discomfort with absolute certainty. And it's like, I felt certain, but there was still a little like, ooh, okay, I don't 100%, but I understand this enough to feel like, okay, we're moving forward. But to me, needing to be overly comfortable, if you're overly comfortable with everything, you're not doing anything big, truth be told. And because also that should be changing. Things that I'm overly comfortable with now were an edge for me 3 years ago. They no longer are, because then I kept moving towards new decisions that were not comfortable for me, right? Moving $100,000 into this, instead of paying it to the government, also for my long-term future, not comfortable, new. But I want to play on the edge of, where am I compounding my money as a new edge, not my biggest edge in life is hiring mentorship. How the hell am I going to ever build wealth if my biggest edge in life continues to be hiring a mentor?
Some of the things that, like you were saying, that was just one of my many aha moments. I'm not saying I had millions of dollars that made this, but when you talk about investing in yourself, or people that are afraid of taking that step because there's a risk associated, they're going to make the wrong decision. I was thinking about like Gates and Trump and all of these people, billionaires, how many times have they been bankrupt? How many times have they reinvented themselves or their business or whatever else? And you may be sitting there saying, well, that's because they have the money or they have the friends that can bail them out and everything else. But it's not about that. It's about all the things that you're talking about, which is, you may not understand all of the steps to take, but at the same time, you're taking those steps and you're trusting in a lot of ways that it's going to not just work out, but that money is neutral and that there isn't scarcity. It's going to be able to expand and grow from a place that maybe you don't understand it at that moment, but it's a potential opportunity. Well, before we break, just wanted to give people an opportunity to reach out to you, get in touch with you. Obviously, I'll include all this in the show notes, but how would you prefer people get in touch?
Yeah, I mean, feel free to send me a DM. I'm very active on Instagram, jocelyn.kelly.reed. I also have a podcast. If you want to go deeper in the feminine business and money vibes, the whole show is on this topic. It's called Queen Flow, the podcast. And then you can always check out my website too, jocelynkellyreed.com.
Thank you again, Jocelyn, for being on, and I'll be sure to check out your podcast.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.